that the Lord has done in our lives. Amen. Give honor to my pastor. I know probably you do not know him, but I do know him. And I love him very much, and I'm not able to do what I get to do, privileged to do, without his blessing and his covering. I called him several months ago. This is typically a time that I take a few days and sneak off to Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's a preacher's conference there. And I called my pastor, said they've asked me to come and preach. What do you feel about me missing this preacher's conference this year? And he, of course, immediately gave his blessing. And you say, well, why do you need his permission? It's not about permission. It's about accountability.
Oh, that's good. That's
and
good.
I just love my man of God. And I want to stay under that covering. Amen. To all of the host pastors, let me say thank you. I don't want to mess anything up. But Pastor Metlin, Pastor Crosswhite, Pastor Martinez, thank you so much for the honor. If there's more, I'm unaware of it. Please forgive me. But thank you for the consideration and the privilege to stand behind this sacred desk and minister the word of the Lord this evening. Amen. I love ministry. I love pastors. I love doing the best I can to help them in any way that I can. And the accommodations, the basket, everything has been so beautiful, so wonderful. And I'm just thankful to be a part of this. To the ministry that's here, God bless you. I give you honor today. I give honor to Pastor Long and Pastor Putman. Get to saddle up next to these gentlemen this week. And I know that anything that I mess up tonight, they'll be more than capable of cleaning it up tomorrow night and Friday night. Praise God. Amen. And to my host of family and friends that has gathered here today, I love you. Thank you for being here and worshiping the Lord with us on this Wednesday night. I've got a couple of folks that are here. You know, I've learned you don't want to just have mountaintop friends. You need some friends that'll be with you in the valley. Amen. And I've got one. He's my cousin, but I count him a dear friend, and I give him honor. I'm glad he's in the building tonight. Love him. Appreciate his support, his friendship. It's good to have my friend, Brother Green, all the way from Houston, carving out a work of God there. Tremendous church, tremendous man of God. And if I start naming names, I'll miss it, but I'm just thankful to be amongst incredible men of God tonight, and incredible people of God. Amen. And I could not go anywhere, do anything without my best friend in the whole world, and that's my wife. And I'm glad she's here tonight. I love her very, very much. Appreciate her willingness to sacrifice and give the kingdom of God. Praise God. Well, what do you say we get into the word of the Lord on this Wednesday night? Amen. If you've come to hear just another message, you're going to hear just another message. That's all you've come for. But if you've come to get something from God, then I believe God has something for you. And I don't say this lightly. I mean this with all of my heart. But I feel the weight of destiny in this service tonight. And I feel very burdened. And I told the Lord, God, if you're sure about this, then I guess I'll be sure as well. And if I do nothing more than reach one soul, if I could get to one young man, one young lady, this will have been worth every effort. I pray there's more than one, but if it's just one tonight, I have a very specific direction, and I'm just going to obey the Lord and do my best and let the Lord do the rest. Praise God. The book of 2 Kings, the second chapter. This is not a very popular message tonight, but again, I've got a mandate from God, and so you just bear with me. And let's see what the Lord will say to us. I'm just old-fashioned. Most of you know that by now. I'm just an old-fashioned fella. While you're turning to the 2 Kings, the second chapter, the first six verses tells us of the attempt of Elijah to leave Elisha. And you see the tenacity and the love for Elijah that is shown as he refuses to leave the man of God's side. And you finally get to verse 7, where you find the 50 men, the sons of the prophets, and went and stood to view afar off. And Elijah and Elisha, they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. This is not an easy thing. What you're asking, what it's requiring, it's not an easy thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken, it shall be so unto thee. And if not, then you're not going to receive that double portion. Came to pass as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. The first time the mantle was cast on him, this time he went and chose to pick it up. And then he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, smote the waters, and said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? When he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Amen. My subject for just a few moments this evening, by the help of the Holy Ghost, is the tragedy of a disregarded mantle. Would you lift your hands and your voices and help me pray tonight? I want the Holy Ghost to talk to us. Come on, I want you to pray like apostolics. I'm asking you, Jesus, to anoint this word. I'm asking you, God, to let your spirit move in this sanctuary right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. One more time, put your hands together, give God praise. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to start tonight by just saying how thankful I am for the heritage that you and I have been given. All the young people that are in here today, regardless of your age, from the youngest child to the oldest of teenagers or young adults, we are to be thankful for the heritage that God has blessed us with. There is no doubt in my mind, we are living in great and goodly cities which we did not build. We have houses that are filled, and yet we did not fill them. We drink from wells that have been dug, but we did not dig them. We're eating from vineyards that we did not plant. And the reason we're doing all of this and more is that somewhere, someone, they sat down and they counted a cost and they began to build. Someone decided that one day living for God really was the best life to live. They made up their mind a long time ago that living for God was worth it. They learned that living for the world would not amount to anything but heartache and pain and sorrow and regret. They found that in living for God, this was truly the only life that really mattered. And what we have today and what you have today is because somebody before you left it to you. Amen. Is there any young people in the house that can say thank you, Lord? Amen. They left a legacy, an inheritance well beyond any price or value that could be placed on it. If you're here today and you do not have parents that live for God and you are a first generation Pentecost, maybe you're here and your family's not been living for God that long. No matter what it is or what your situation, somebody, maybe it's your pastor, maybe it's a friend in the church, somewhere, somehow, somebody has paid the cost, the price for you to feel what you feel. That there's a reason that we walk into the house of God on a Wednesday night and we feel the presence of God and we feel the Holy Ghost walking amongst us. I'm going to tell you, it's because somewhere somebody sacrificed. And thank God we can do what we do and feel what we feel and experience what we experience together. Thank God for people that were willing to sacrifice. Amen. During the Second World War, a young soldier named David Webster of the Easy Company of the 101st Airborne, he wrote his mother in a letter saying, "Stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutist to fight. I intend to fight. If necessary, I shall die. But don't worry about this, Mama, because no war can be won without men dying. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." I'm going to get straight to the heart of this tonight. I think it's only fair for me to ask the question and under the obedience of the Holy Ghost to ask the young people that are in this building, how precious is the kingdom? How precious is the church? What we have, what we feel, what we experience tonight, how precious is it to you? I want to pose a question to you. Is what you feel tonight worth sacrificing for? I want to submit that if those that have gone on before us deemed it worthy of all of their sacrifice, surely the hearts of every young man and every young woman can agree that this thing really is worth sacrificing everything that we have for. I'm not here to tell anybody anything new, but you do understand it does take sacrifice living for God. I know obedience is better than sacrifice, but if you stop and think about it, obedience often requires that you sacrifice. It takes sacrifice to protect this precious inheritance that has been left to us. I'm not here to preach some stereotypical youth message, but oh, I'm here to try to get into the hearts of men and women and children and young people and get you to realize you've got something that means something more. This thing's worth sacrificing for. This thing's worth fighting for. I want to know, young man, how are you willing to sacrifice? Young lady, how far are you willing to go? What we have and what we have been given, I submit it ought to be worth enough to die for. Oh, that God would restore an attitude in this generation that says, for God I live and for God I die. It matters not what this world does. It makes no difference what happens outside. I'm going to live for God with everything in my heart and everything in my soul. Praise God. Looking at our text tonight, just to try to pinpoint this, and I'm only going to be able to scratch the surface of this message. Surely I cannot do it justice, but one of the greatest realizations we could take with us is simply what it took to part the waters of Jordan for Elijah. It took the same exact thing for Elisha in order to fulfill what God had for him. The first order of business that Elisha does is he retraces the steps of his predecessor. I'm here to preach to young people today. The best way to figure out how God's going to do it is to go back to the places where he's already done it. Because if he's done it once, he's going to do it again. And what he did for another generation, he's going to do it for you. And we rejoice about that. We shout, we stand, we rejoice. Thank God for it. But But I'm going to tell you what the problem is today, and I'm going to dig into some things in the next few moments. But we've got too many young people in this generation that want to run back to part the waters of the Jordan, but they're not first willing to rent their clothes and make some changes and make some sacrifice. You got to understand, you can't just watch as they leave this world and think that the waters are going to part by themselves. Rather, you got to look at what God's going to do in your life and say, I've got to make some changes. I've got to make some sacrifices. There's some things in me that can't stay here if I'm going to fulfill the purpose in my life. Elisha watches his man of God. He even goes as far to call him father. Watches him ascend into the whirlwind. And then he walks over and sees the mantle lying in the dirt, and he picks it up. Thankfully, Elisha had enough sense to know that if I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to need what he had. He understood, I can't stand on the banks of the Jordan and expect the waters to part if I don't have the mantle. I'm going to tell you, it's a whole different story to say, where is the God of our forefathers? And it's another thing to actually go pick up the mantle out of the dirt where it fell and say, okay, God, let's see what this thing really can do. I'm here to try to challenge and encourage every young person and tell you, if you really want to see God, if you really want him to show up in this generation, if you really are hungry and desperate to see the supernatural, you've got to learn to go pick up the mantle of those that have gone on before us. Now, I'm perfectly comfortable fighting some things tonight, but I would hope there's some elders and some seasoned mom and dads and saints of God that'll get a hold of what the preacher's trying to do and what God's trying to do on behalf of your babies today. I'm okay to fight some spirits, but I'm asking the mothers and the fathers and the grandparents in the building to get with the preacher and say, baby, if you're going to make it, you got to go get the mantle. Baby, if you're going to see it, you gotta go get the mantle. I'm just going to be real with you tonight, young man, young lady. You need to stop trying to fill the shoes of the previous generations. Elisha, you got to learn to be yourself and not somebody else. Besides, the shoes didn't fall from Elijah. The mantle fell. We've got too many young people trying to wear the shoes of other generations because you want to walk the walk. And the problem is, some of you got the look down, but the problem is the mantle's still down. If you want to see it, you got to forget the shoes. You're on holy ground anyways. And you got to pick up the mantle, because you're not going to find the supernatural in a new way of doing things. You're not going to find the miraculous in some modern contemporary way of doing things. But you got to go back to where the mantle fell. I know this is old fashioned today, but oh, you got to learn to take the way that the saints of old took. It may seem crazy, but it worked. It may seem radical, but it worked. To your peers, it may seem abnormal, but it works. Pick up the mantle. It's the cry of the heavens tonight. It's the will of God for some young man, some young lady, to pick up the mantle.
Let the naysayers talk. Let the doubters doubt. Let the unbelievers have no faith. But baby, let no man despise thy youth. You do what you know is right. You walk over to where the mantle fell, and you pick it up, and you count the cost, and you pay the price. When it's all said and done, I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, God's going to move for you.
Yes, He will.
And your generation,
yes, He will.
Just like He did for those in generations bygone.
Right. Yes.
Does anybody believe that tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I've been sent here on assignment from God to somehow drive a sense of urgency into the spirits of this congregation. I know it's old message, but time is running out. This world is wrapping up. I know we preached about it for years, but Jesus really is coming back again. I'm telling you, we're closer now than we've ever been before. Jesus really is coming. I know you've heard it for all your life, but you're going to hear it one more time. Jesus is coming back. I don't know the day or the hour, but I know that He's coming back. I know it sounds cliche, but it's the Holy Ghost. If you're going to do something for God, you better start doing it. If you're going to win your school, you better start winning. If you're going to get the neighborhood and the friends and the associates on the job, you better start doing it. Because Jesus is coming back again. There's communities, towns, cities represented in this building tonight. Small towns, big towns, makes no difference. It's going to start with somebody picking up a mantle. You can't leave it in the dirt, friend. You can't disregard the mantle. Please, I'm pleading with somebody. Don't disregard the mantle for the next 20 years before you start doing something with it. I know it's got to be done in God's timing, but it doesn't mean you can't start making preparations now. You're not too young. You hear me today. I don't care if you're 6 years old or 10 years old or 20 years old. You can start doing something now. Hell's real good at telling us you can afford to push it back to tomorrow. The mantle will still be there in the dirt tomorrow. But you don't understand, if you don't start now, you most likely never will.
Right.
Because the longer you wait, the harder it gets.
Yes.
You think it's tough now with homework and school and trying to work that part-time job. Wait until there's a spouse and children and bills to be paid and responsibilities like never before. You think you can wait and do it later? You better think again. I'm trying to tell you, you need to get this thing for yourself now. You got to get this in your soul now. You got to plant something deep in your heart now. You can't wait till later. You got to get the mantle now. Hell would love to see us walk out of the building tonight, young people, leaving the exact same way you came. Mantles scattered all over the floor, never having been picked up, disregarded yet again. Oh, but I'm trying to help you in the Holy Ghost. I'm nothing and nobody today, but oh, I'm trying to help somebody for the sake of your soul and the sake of the generation coming behind you. You got to pick up the mantle now. The devil knows as long as it's disregarded, the waters of Jordan will never be parted. As long as you leave the mantle where it fell, miracles will never happen. Lives won't be changed. Souls won't be saved. The supernatural's not going to take place. As long as the mantle's left in the dirt, as long as it's disregarded, all you'll be able to do is ask where the God of Elijah is. He won't show up. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. I'm noticing today, you can be seated. Elder Crosswhite, my coattails are here. You tugged me, Elder. But I got to say what I feel. I felt it in prayer. I'm noticing, and I've been so blessed to go all over this country so far, and I'm noticing more and more that too many churches are lacking the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. I asked God, why is it? And all I could get was, there are precious praying, fasting saints of God, elders that are passing from this life. And as they're going, the mantle's falling, but it's being disregarded. Who's going to dig? Who's going to seek? Who's going to fast? Who's going to pray to be used in the gifts? I'm telling you, we need them in our churches. We need them in our churches everywhere. We need them in big churches and small churches. But we've got to have young people that'll pick up the mantle. I love elders. I do. I really do love elders. They mean something to me. I see the battle scars. I see the weary, worn knees and elbows from hours and hours of prayer. You see some of them, you just know their integrity, their character is such that they pray and they fast. I'm trying to get through. I don't even know if I can, but I'm praying God does penetrate the heart of some young man and see if you can come to the realization that you got to do more than what you're doing now. I got to ask you, when's the last time, sir, that you buried your face in the carpet and cried and talked to God? Not because pastor asked you, not because the youth pastor asked you. You did it because you're desperate for a move of God. When is the last time, young people, that you pushed the plate back and said, a breakthrough in my youth group, it means more than the comforts of my flesh? Is this too old-fashioned? I'm not here to live in the past, but we've got to acknowledge that the saints of old had something real and something tangible. They had the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And they did it without the modern luxuries we are afforded today. Sawdust floors and starlit skies. And prayer meetings that lasted into the wee hours of the morning. And yes, they still had to go to work. Don't tell me they had it easier back then. They still had mouths to feed and bills to pay and jobs to deal with. But they wanted more of God than they did anything else. And so they paid the price. And this generation sits on padded chairs with cool AC in our faces. And there's no desperation. And there's no hunger. And there's no desire to pick up a mantle and say, we're not moving until God moves. I knew it wasn't going to be a lot of amens and shouting tonight, but I'm very comfortable in the Holy Ghost. I know what I've been fighting. I know what I came to preach. And hell knows, if you get a hold of this, the world better watch out. Every sinner better watch out. Every spirit of hell better watch out. You gotta pick up the mantle. More than any generation before us. We need God now more than ever. Our world needs the church now more than ever. I'm looking at young people. You've heard your whole life. You're the church of tomorrow. But today is yesterday's tomorrow. You've got to be the church now. Are you hearing me, young people? Are you hearing me, young people? Pick up the mantle of prayer. Pick up the mantle of fasting. Pick up the mantle of consecrating yourself to God. Pick up the mantle of soul winning and outreach and doing home Bible studies. I got to be a preacher to do that. I got to have pastor give me a title to do that. No, you don't. That's one of the greatest deceptions of hell. Is you can't do it unless you got a call of God on your life. Well, guess what? You got a call of God on your life because everybody's in the ministry of reconciliation, baby. So go win a soul. Go teach a home Bible study. Go with pastor to the jail cell. You can do something. Just pick up the mantle. We have created a culture that we are having tragedies of what could be because of disregarded mantles. If we could ever just realize the beauty the mantle holds, the value that the mantle holds. I'm going to be real. It's not glamorous wearing the mantle. It's never been fashionable to wear the mantle. I'm going to be real. Mantles are not attractive. They're not going to match your outfit. They certainly don't let you fit in and blend in with the rest of them. People wearing mantles stand out. Well, I thought I was in a holiness separated church. The mantle's going to require things that others do not require. But hear me today, it's not a travesty. It's not a burden to wear it. There's something so incredible about the mantle. If you really knew what the mantle meant, what it would allow you to see in the spirit, Elisha, you wouldn't hesitate to turn the cell phone off and shut the video game down and put the book down if you knew the miracles that awaited those that carry the mantle. You'd have no problem saying no to some things and to some people. Oh, I done hit it now. You'd have no problem saying no to influences in your life that you would let go in a heartbeat if you knew what the mantle meant. You want to know how pastor knows? You want to know how these brethren know that you're not really about the mantle? It's because they watch who you run with and who you're conversating with and what your influences are, because they understand if you really had the mantle, you'd say no to the world and yes to God. You wouldn't talk that way with your school friends. Wouldn't be on the phone late at night with that boy, that girl.
Yes.
If you really knew what the mantle meant.
Yes.
Pastor, if I say something, you correct me.
Man, you're on target.
But I'm trying to tell you that the mantle you wear and what it means and the value and the power it holds is unlike anything else in this world.
Right.
Hear me today before you experience it. And I'm hoping I got some testimonies in the building. But when you live for God, it's better than any fix you could ever have. It's better than any needle you could shoot in your arm. It's better than any beer bottle you could drink from. It's better than any one night stand in the back seat of a car. The mantle, living for God, it's the best life. There is nothing that this world has to offer that I would trade the mantle for. Get your priorities right, young people. I can't go some places because I value the mantle. I can't talk to some people. I value the mantle. I can't do some things. I value the mantle. Be seated or stand, whatever you feel like doing.
My God.
Sadly, the problem is some people, they want to go to the mantle. They just want to cut pieces off of it. Some people just want to go to the mantle that was sweated and labored and sacrificed for. They don't want the whole thing. They want to take portions of what they like. I'll take what fits me. I'll take what works for me, what helps me. And the problem is we want the supernatural, but no separation. We want conviction, but no consecration. We want anointing, but we don't want the altar. We want promises, no prayer meetings. We're deceived to believe that just pieces of the mantle is enough. Just a little bit will do. But honey, let me tell you, you can't smite the mighty waters of the Jordan with the piece of the mantle. You gotta have the whole thing. You gotta have all of it. You can't pick and choose. This isn't a smorgasbord, a buffet of what fits your generation. You gotta have it all. It was symbolic. It was more than coincidence. As the last thing Elijah does with Elisha is take the mantle off, and he bundles up the sweat and the tears and the prayers and the fasting and the anointing, the years of sacrifice from Elijah, and he shows the next generation, this is what it takes to have the supernatural. And he smites the water. There are too many remnants. You can be seated. Too many remnants of what used to be.
Used to be.
Too many remnants. There used to be mantles. But now, it's nothing more than leftovers. Tattered, torn remains of somebody else's sacrifice that a generation came in and said, that's not necessary. Somebody didn't want to pay the full price for the full thing. They're not interested in sacrificing everything. Let me just sacrifice a little. Come on, young people, I'm talking to you. And now there's nothing more than pieces of mantles. A tragedy of a disregarded mantle is this. We have become okay with dismantling the mantle piece by piece. Instead of donning the mantle in its entirety. We're okay just taking what little bit fits now because that's too old fashioned. Our generation doesn't need to do it like that anymore. Our generation, we don't have to do it that way anymore. And we hide it under tradition. And while I'm all for getting out of some traditions because I think they bind churches, there also has to be an understanding that what is not just a tradition sometimes is a landmark. Not everything's a tradition. Some things are landmarks, and you better leave it there. I pray to God, be seated, that some of these precious saints of old don't have any way of knowing. I don't know how heaven works all the way, but I hope to God they can't see down here. I hope to God they can't know that the mantle that fell from them when they meant to meet the reward is collecting dirt and dust somewhere. I hope they never know that the mantle they worked for their whole life has been cut, ripped, and torn, and chosen, and picked apart. Precious saints of old that paid a price, sweated, labored, fasted, prayed, lived for God with everything. What's left of their mantle tonight? Bits, pieces, remnants of a mantle, because somebody just didn't want to pay full price. And those that went before us, they saw things we can only dream to see today. They had faith for things that came to pass that we only hear about in stories. Mountains were shaken. And chains were broken. And devils were cast out. And diseases were healed. Because they paid a price. There wasn't a cost too great for them. Because the mantle meant something. Wasn't a burden or a chore to them. They loved the mantle. They loved everything it represented. They learned a long time ago, if I'm going to see a move of God, it's going to come at a cost. A cost I'll most gladly pay. I've heard stories of them going into prayer meetings. And the glory of the Lord would come down and haze would fill the room. And they would linger. We don't linger no more. We don't linger no more. We have our few little minutes at the end of a service passed along. A few shallow moments around an altar that a man of God slaved and sweated. And I'm not building them up. I'm just telling you the hours of preparation. God speaking into the heart of that man, and he gives it to the people trying to save your soul. And we're satisfied with a few shallow moments. Because we've decided to take certain pieces of the mantle. Life's too busy. Kids got school. I've got a job. Pieces. But these prayer meetings that these elders had, those prayer meetings built churches. Those prayer meetings brought God to where they were. Heaven met earth in those prayer meetings because they were willing to wear the mantle in its entirety. But listen to me, now they're gone. And their prayers aren't being prayed anymore. And their voices are no longer heard in the prayer room. And their hands and feet are not moving in worship. And the doors aren't being knocked by them anymore. And heaven no longer comes to them. But now they went to where heaven is. And we love to reminisce. And we love to think of their memory. But somewhere we got to get beyond the memory. And get back to the mantle. What's it going to take for you to realize that if the church is going to move forward, if prayers are going to be prayed, if doors are going to be knocked, if the supernatural is going to happen, it's going to take young people that get the spirit of Elisha and say, I don't want to do what they did. I don't want to just see what they saw, but give me a double portion. Let me have more. I want more of God. I want more Holy Ghost. I want more miracles. I want more glory. I want more souls saved. Give me the mantle. Let me see what God will do.
Jesus.
I'm trying to hurry today. Forgive me. I've been carrying this with me in my spirit for many, many days. And I really would like to get it out. I promise I won't hold you too much longer. You go study what I'm preaching today. It's nothing new. But Elisha did exactly double the miracles that Elijah did. The last miracle, obviously, as it is to you, probably was so amazing to me. It's nothing more than a dead man let down into the sepulcher of Elisha. The Bible says when he touched the bones of Elisha, he revived, stood up on his feet. A reviving of life to a dead man. Can I say it this way? Revival. Situation that seemed hopeless and over, changed and redirected. A miracle. But the miracle never happens without a decision many years ago over a mantle. One generation dead, another one coming. And we are seeing things today because of their mantle. I wonder, this is so sobering. I wonder what will the generation coming behind us see? What will they witness if we don't pick up the mantle? I know it's quiet, that's okay. But a dead man made contact with one whose decisions of yesterday made a world of difference in that dead man's today. I want you to hear me. What you do with the mantle today makes a difference in the miracles in generations coming behind us. Elisha, if you walk away from the mantle that fell from Elijah and you go back across the Jordan on a boat somehow, I don't know that the dead man's ever brought back to life. But his decision to pick up a mantle, even in death, revival in future generations depends on mantles taken up this generation. Elisha was willing to pay the price, and when he was willing to pay the price, God was willing to honor the promise. One of my greatest fears about the church is the future of the church. I know this is God's church. I know God's going to take care of it, but I want you to think about it. Already we are seeing a great decline of churches across the world who have relaxed their standards. I'm not your pastor. I'm not here to preach standards, but you know what I'm talking about. They've cut a few corners, left a few pages out of the Bible, overlooked some key elements in living for God. They've accepted the gray areas instead of applying biblical principle. Somewhere it has become unnecessary to do what grandma and grandpa did. It's not essential to live like the old timers lived. It's not as important to walk in the way of holiness like those before them did. And you look at them now and they're gone. And if they're not gone, they're about to be. The churches are gone. All because what they believed is nothing like what they used to believe. How they dress is no longer modest and holy. There's some churches you can't even tell the difference between them and the world. Because separation is not an issue anymore. I said this before, I'm going to say it again. We got too much imitation, not enough separation. I told you, it's not a popular message today, but that's all right. Let me just help you young people. I don't care who says it, how smart they are, what their pedigree is. You cannot win this world talking like the world, dressing like the world, acting like the world, doing the things they do. You gotta wear a mantle. I'm sick and tired of imposters. I'm tired of the fakes and the lookalikes. We need a world of real old-fashioned apostolic young people. How many people do you know, friends of yours, that are not sitting next to you tonight because somewhere the mantle just didn't mean that much to them? Do you understand why you got to get this for yourself? You got to buy the truth and sell it not. You got to pick up the mantle and do something for God. You got to surrender and submit to His will. You got to obey and sacrifice everything. I'm pleading with you. Don't disregard the mantle. The music can come. I don't want there to be a tragedy of disregarded mantles tonight. I'm not going to say names, but I know of a man. You could be seated or standing. I'm almost done. Know a man, a great man. A man who's built a church. He put the time and the effort and the hours of praying and fasting. The weeks and months of soul winning efforts. A man who preaches straight and true. Stood for what was right. The day came for this elder to turn the church over to his son. He was delighted, who had seemingly followed in his footsteps. At first, everything was just fine after the transition happened. Nothing changed really, but in a span of time. Wasn't very long, to be honest with you. Gradually, things just weren't as important to the son anymore. Didn't happen overnight. That he took something in its entirety. Beautiful, valuable sacrifice. And he began to slowly take pieces out of it. The son only wanted certain things the mantle had to offer. The end of the story shows the son standing in the pulpit of the church his father built, handing it to him. And the son tells the congregation, "We don't need this anymore. We're not going to believe it this way. We're not going to be so strong on those issues. That's not that important. That's old fashioned. We're not going to preach it and teach it like that anymore." The story was told to me. The elderly father sitting on the platform slowly watched the mantle he labored for, the mantle he cried on, mantle he draped across the shoulders of his son. He watched it get torn apart. He listened as all of a sudden what was so precious to him was so worthless to his son, the next generation. The story has it before he left, the father got down on his knees in front of the whole church. He looked at that son holding remnants of what used to be the mantle. And he pleaded, please, please, don't do this. I'm trying to salvage future generations, young people. Because you're not going to have what they had with just pieces. You're not going to see what they saw and more with just remnants. You're not going to get the results that they got with just a little bit. Please, please. Don't disregard the mantle. Please, I'm begging you, value the mantle. It means something, young people. I'm just 32 today. I'm not an old man. I had a bishop. He's gone on today. He taught me the value of the mantle. I'm not perfect. I've messed up. I've made mistakes. But I've always come back to the mantle because it means something to me. Young people, hear this preacher. Don't flirt with the world. Don't gamble the mantle away. Don't mess up what God has in store for you. Don't be a part of those that destroy the heritage that we have. Don't be satisfied with pieces of a mantle. But pick up the mantle and see what God will do for you. Pick up the mantle and see the miracles. Pick up the mantle. See God break the stronghold. Pick up the mantle and let God give you a breakthrough in your youth group. Woo. There ought to be some urgency today from a young man, a young woman, to come down to this altar and be going more than pieces. I want the entire thing. Come on, let tonight be the defining moment where you lay it all down and sacrifice everything. I'll do whatever you want, God. Just give me a double portion. Somebody pray your way into a spirit of double portion tonight, please. Please don't let this just be another ordinary altar call. Let this be a moment that rewrites your destiny. Come on, mom and dad. You're not exempt from this today. This is your babies. Come on, grandma and grandpa. The next generation, it ought to matter to you too. Tragedy of a disregarded mantle. Somebody's miracles depending on your mantle.
Make a new commitment.
Somebody's salvation depends on your miracle.
Help me.
There's a river Jordan to be parted in this world. Pick up the mantle.
Place a burden in my heart.
on, elders, help me pray tonight. Elders, please help me pray with these young people. Mom and dad, aunts and uncles. The future depends on mantles tonight being picked up. The next generation is depending on mantles tonight to be picked up. I'll pray. I'll fast. I'll go. I'll sacrifice. I'll pay the price. I'll do whatever I gotta do. Just let me see a move of God. Thank you.
Jesus. Yes, Lord, oh God.
Come on, would you help me pray with somebody near you? They may be full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, but would you pray with them? Come on, bind together with them right now. Help me pray. Come on, let's touch the throne. Let's touch the throne of grace tonight. Come on. Come on, say yes to the Lord. Help me pray with somebody. Tonight is somebody's night. It's their night. Come on. Press your way to the throne of grace. The Holy Ghost minister tonight. Pray with that person near you. Come on, this is the apostolic way. Come on, help me pray. Help me believe God tonight. Young man, he just was baptized a couple Thursday nights ago. He wants the Holy Ghost tonight.
Oh, yes,
amen. Would you pray and believe the Lord with us tonight that God would fill Will with the Holy Ghost?